Episode number 32, five challenges to reaching preteens with Sean Sweet. Here we go, Tribe.
This is the Kidmin Tribe Podcast. We're helping you as children's pastors, volunteers, and leaders plan, create, and execute incredible life-changing kids' worship experiences at your church. With practical tips, coaching, training, and resources from the best in kids' ministry around the world. It's time to join the tribe.
Everyone, welcome to the Kidmin Tribe Podcast. Hey, listen, I know you're thinking about what to do in the fall. This is going to be a great opportunity to really dig in. I'm so glad you're here. I want to give you some great tips and insight on how to reach preteens effectively, and that's what we're going to do today. Preteen ministry is one of the most important ministries that we need in our churches. That's for 4th, 5th, and 6th graders. I'm excited to welcome on the show today a good friend and someone who is a passionate advocate for preteens. Sean Sweet is a 25-year passionate advocate for preteens who serves as the community director for 456.org, which educates, trains, and resources preteen ministries around the world. I'm excited to introduce you to a friend who I've known since I started in ministry and someone who I think will challenge you to rethink how you're ministering to your preteens and your church and your community. You're not going to want to miss a single moment of today's podcast. Share it with all your friends. I hope you're ready for the Kidmin Tribe today. We're going to dive in with Sean right after this on how to build our preteen ministries. Can't wait.
Hey friends, Carl Barnhill here. If you are a kids ministry leader and you need some quick visuals for your kids' services, I'd love for you to check out our kids media library at 1230kids.com. We have over 10,000 pieces of media content that you can download either a la carte or through our annual subscription. We have 10 product lines of visuals, including games, mini movies and Bible story videos, themed packs, countdowns, worship videos, social media content, and more. You can start downloading today at 1230kids.com/go for Go Unlimited. That's 1230kids.com/go.
Hey everyone, it's Jason Noble with the Kidmin Tribe Podcast. I'm so glad you're here today. I'm with one of my good friends, Sean Sweet. Sean, how's it going, man?
Great, Jason. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. We've done ministry for a long time, kind of not together, but we've known each other for a long time. And I'm so glad that you're stepping on and helping. One of the things I was so excited to see early on in your ministry was such a heart for preteens. And that was something that was in my heart too, is as a children's pastor, how do we reach those preteens? How do we make them really give good tools and make good experiences? Because a lot of times we see it in kids' church, where kids' church, we start to lose our 5th and 6th graders, and there's some ways to make sure that doesn't happen. And so, Sean, you've kind of devoted your life. Tell us what you're working on, what you do now, what's up with your life. Love to hear more about you.
Yeah, so back when you knew me, I was a volunteer in the children's ministry and at a church in Rockland, California area. And after the children's pastor at that time left, I stepped in as the children's pastor over birth through 5th grade. I did that for 19 years. And well, I was on staff for 19 years. I was over birth through 5th grade for only 6-7 years before I was like, hey, we need to split off the preteens. And so that became my new role. I was just overseeing preteen ministry, and my assistant at the time, she became the director of children's pastor. So that was a really big change for our church to start a preteen ministry back in 2008.
That was early. Not a lot of places were doing it at that point.
Yeah, it was kind of like, I remember our senior pastor, he said, our church our size will never have a preteen ministry. But now, you know, like you see preteen ministries popping up at churches that are like, they've got 20 kids and they're like, we're going to do something for the preteens. Yeah. That's different.
Right.
Which is great. So during this time, I was working with people from all over the country on how do we support churches and educate churches on the need for preteen ministry and the, you know, the logistics of how do you do that and why are preteens different and all this stuff. And out of that grew a nonprofit called 456.org. So it's like a parachurch organization, and we try to partner with churches and, you know, come along and help support the ministries of churches as they're figuring out what to do with their preteens. Yeah. So just last summer, I left my position as the preteen pastor at Destiny, where I'd been there for 19 years.
Wow.
And the person who stepped in, this is pretty cool, Jason, she was in my preteen ministry.
Really?
Yeah, she went through our leadership program. She came back as a volunteer, and then she went to college and graduated with all of her, you know, her everything and her credentials and all that kind of stuff. And it just seemed like the right time for me to focus more on the 456.org and really trying to help churches with their preteen ministry. And she was doing a great job. It was like, okay,
that's like
best transition ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's like the ultimate like dream for transition, right? I mean,
for sure.
Hey, like everything that you've poured into her and continuing in the ministry, man, talk about a smooth transition. And sometimes, you know, it's interesting because in kids ministry, sometimes we wonder, okay, we're planting the seeds, but a lot of times we don't get to see what the final product is. For you, what a cool thing to be able to plant the seed and then see the final product. And one of the things that I think that you speak of that's so important is longevity. When you look at like the fact you were out of position for 19 years, I mean, like that's so cool when it comes to being able to watch that play out.
Yeah. You know, Lynn Krogstad?
Oh, yes. Yep. I followed Lynn. Yep.
Yeah. So Lynn had a similar thing where, I mean, and she was at a smaller church, but she did something specifically for her preteens.
Totally.
And I met this couple. They said, hey, you know, Lynn Krogstad. I met them at a conference. And I said, oh yeah, she was great. She always had preteen ministry, even when she only had like two or three preteens, you know, she would still do things for them. And they, this couple said, we know we were two of them. And now they have taken over for her role. So it's kind of the same, kind of thing. When you invest in preteens, you just never know.
I will tell you, I followed Lynn Krogstad in my first position and in Stockton, California, and talk about, she needs to actually teach on how to transition well. She left all of her files in place. She left all of the ideas about, we called it Club 5-6. So, I mean, like all of that stuff was just the DNA that I picked up and ran with when I came to Stockton. And I mean, the fruit of her ministry is so incredible. And really, like, I think she was so early on in this idea of reaching preteens, it really caught on. And so I think it's pretty cool to see now what's happening. So how would you define a preteen? Let's get that right down to the bottom. When we talk about preteens, what does that look like? How do we define it?
Yeah. So it's funny because I was at the AG Next Gen conference and I had this booth set up and I'm talking with people. And as I'm talking with people, I see these two youth pastors come up and they're like, preteen, what's that? You know, and I wanted to stop my conversation and talk with them because like, this is a real thing. And this is a stage of development. And you know, every kid goes through this differently,
right?
But typically we're talking about the early adolescent stage. So, somewhere between 9 and 12 years old, because we can't just like, you know, do assessments of kids and say, oh, okay, I think you, you belong here, whatever. That's why it's 4-5-6. Why our ministry is called 4-5-6, because it's typically around 4th, 5th, 6th grade that kids are going through this process, and it's like they're leaving childhood, they haven't reached adolescence yet, and they're on this like the beginning steps of this adolescent journey.
Yes.
And so 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, somewhere in there, and it is. How do you define a preteen? Well, it's not like a certain age, you know. We do 4th, 5th, and 6th grade to try to capture the kids as they're going through this change.
Yeah.
But really, it's that time when kids are starting to have the brain capacity to do things that children, younger children, just can't do.
Right.
And that, you know, is actually one of the biggest challenges, I think, in working with preteens is they don't just obey what we tell them to do. Right. Like, And this
that'd be nice. Right.
Right. Yeah. But actually, I think it's a necessary part of the way God has created us to where you know, you ask a first grader who Jesus is, and their answer is pretty much going to mirror what they've been taught, what their parents have said. A high schooler, you know, hopefully they've put some thought into what they think for themselves.
Totally.
And there's something that happens around fourth, fifth, sixth grade, 9 to 12, where we're in the brain, you know, we see the change on the outside. We see like these fourth graders are like this tall and the sixth graders are, you know,
right.
Like, taller than us. And they've got the mustache starting and they're, you know, it's like, what happened? But that same change is that same rate of change is going on inside their brains. The AMLE, the American Middle Level Educators, they say between 10 and 15, there's more change than any other time in life. More rapid change than any other time in life, except 0 to 2.
Wow.
So you think of your entire life, the time you are changing the most is 0 to 2. The second most rapid time of change and development is 10 to 15.
Wow.
And so part of that change is what's going on inside their brains. And they're able to question things in ways they couldn't. They're able to explore possibilities in ways they couldn't. And a lot of this, what we see as disobedience, is really just them trying out these new wings that that they're growing overnight and they have no practice. And, you know, if I grew a new set of wings and I was trying them out, I probably would knock things down and bump into the walls.
That's a great perspective. That's so good.
That's kind of what preteens are like. Like they've, you know, it's almost like when your toddler is learning to walk.
Yeah.
You know, and they're like walking down and they're like stumbly and they fall. We don't get mad at them like we do with our preteens, right? We go, oh, that's okay. Try again.
Right.
And I think that kind of perspective with preteens is really helpful. Instead of going, okay, they're not obeying.
Right.
Yeah, but why? Like, what's going on developmentally that's causing them to not just accept a blanket acceptance of morality? That's what they call it in the AMLE. Is like this blanket, you know, younger kids have this blanket acceptance of morality, whereas older kids have more of an open value system where they're questioning things and trying them out.
That's so good.
You know, just, yeah, my son, he's 12 now, but I'll never forget the first day of fourth grade. We were driving to school, and on the first day of fourth grade, it was like, you know, you can't say, okay, fourth grade is when it starts or whatever. But for him, there was this moment, right? We're driving to school, we're getting on the freeway. And as I'm merging onto the freeway, he from the back seat, he says, Dad, how do we know that God's real?
Wow.
I'm like, look, hold on, let me merge onto the freeway.
Right, exactly.
But it's exciting. It's exciting.
It is.
What? Yeah.
And like you say, I don't think it's a, like, we can't do like a test to say, okay, here's where they're at, but you can always tell when kids start like detaching in Sunday morning kids church, or like like your fifth and sixth graders are antsy and, you know, whatever, that's a sign that they're in those moments. And it's a great opportunity. What we always did with our fifth and sixth graders is we actually turned them into workers for kids service, to where like they would be leaders and guides and whatever. Because I think they were at that point where they were going, okay, I need to explore more. And so those are always a sign. If you're having trouble with your fifth and sixth graders, it's probably a great time to start some ministry to them.
Yes. That's different.
Yep.
Than what you're doing for your younger and for your older.
Totally. And when you think about kids ministry, I always tell people you have to age it up. So like if you're wanting to reach first, second, third graders, you're probably doing material that is sixth grade or seventh grade. If you want to reach fifth and sixth graders, you're probably thinking more of like a seventh, eighth grade material, you know, kind of mindset, I would think.
Yeah. You know, I always felt too like that, like it's really difficult to say, okay, so here's one of my frustrations when I first started in children's ministries. I had been a school teacher for 7 years.
Yeah.
So I knew how to communicate with fourth and fifth graders. That's what I taught. And so I'm standing up in front and like I'm communicating in that way.
Yeah.
And I would totally lose the younger kids.
Mm, interesting.
And then when I tried to communicate at that level or whatever, then I could tell the older kids were, you know, it's almost like I'm in a bilingual classroom when I had, true. When I had first through sixth graders together. And so
I think that's true.
It really is a challenge to try to reach them all at the same time in the same way.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Lynn really did some amazing things, you know, where she found ways to get her older kids into leadership, but then also she did special nights for them.
Yep.
And that really inspired me, where it was like, okay, I don't have to, at first, you know, I didn't have an entire ministry dedicated to our preteens. They were lumped in with the younger kids,
right?
But we had these events for them.
Yes.
And that really ministered to them. It was like, you know, once a month we'd have an event for them. And I remember as dear volunteers said, well, why don't we have events for the younger kids? And so we tried it, but those ended up just being family events, right? Like when they reach preteens, the events become meaningful to them because they're choosing to come and they're inviting their friends. And it's just, it's different. It's a different age and it requires a different approach.
Totally. And we actually followed that model when we got to Stockton, where we did a once, we called it a hog and jog. We'd eat at the church and then go out and do an event. And I mean, just such a great thing. I mean, we'd have 50 or 60 preteens coming that would come, you know, where they'd invite their friends to come. It was an opportunity together. You know, we did discipleship around that. I mean, it's so good. So however you do it, this thought of intentionally reaching preteens is so important. I think it's vital. So today, what are some, like I titled this podcast, Five Challenges to Reaching Preteens. And I'd love for you just to talk us through those.
Sure. So one we have already kind of touched on is that they don't obey what we tell them.
Right.
and another one, I think kind of in the same vein, is that their reasoning skills have not caught up with their desire to be respected and to have independence.
Yes.
Right. So they want you to, well, I mean, some days they want you to treat them like adults. Other days they're like, oh, I just want to be a little kid again. Yeah. You know, they're kind of this weird thing.
But that happens up till 24. So
what are you talking about? I'm still experiencing it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, I think, you know, those two things are real challenges for ministry leaders. And I think the solution for both of them is kind of understanding where they're at and why they're acting the way they are.
Yeah.
I mentioned the AMLE, and if you Google AMLE characteristics of young adolescents, they have this powerhouse article. It came out, I don't know, like 10 years ago, but they took content from the last like 70 years of research on this age group and put it together in this 5-page article. Well, it's 5 pages, and then there's like another 5 pages of all their sources. but they break down, like, that is so helpful for ministry leaders, myself included. Like, I like going back to this article and reading it because there are certain behaviors and attitudes that you'll see in your preteens. And when you read this article, it helps you to go, yes. Oh, and here's why. Oh, here's why. You know, here's why they're not obeying.
Totally.
Here's why they want to be respected, but their reasoning skills haven't caught up to that yet, you know?
Totally.
Yeah.
Another part of that solution is having a relationship with them. Like having that relationship with them as leaders, where we can, it's not just a come on Sunday, but you build this relationship. So when you do have to guide them, and really you're at a point of not telling them what to do, it's guiding them, right? I mean, like,
that's right.
That whole process of how do you guide and not just, you know, it's an interesting process.
Yeah, I'm looking for a book that I have here, Jason.
Yeah.
I don't have it right here. But we have a book. It's called Let Go and Run Beside.
Okay.
And the whole idea is, like, when you're teaching somebody to ride a bike, there comes a point where you have to let go and run beside. And so your relationship changes, you know, from this is my bike and you're sitting on it to, okay, you're ready to. Well, you're not ready because you've never done it before, but
right,
you know, it's like you're ready developmentally, but not experientially.
Right.
And that's where our preteens are when it comes to faith ownership and ownership in a lot of areas of their life. Right. So our relationship with them needs to change. And like you said, Well, our senior pastor says it this way. He says, interest comes before entrance.
Yes. Yep.
And I think as we become more interested in the developmental stage of preteens and the individual preteens that we minister to, as we become interested in that, they grant us entrance into their lives and into speaking into, you know, their faith journey that they're on.
Totally.
But if we're just like, you know, sit down, why are you misbehaving? Why are you flapping those wings around, you know, here? Those right. Wings aren't allowed here. I'm
done with those wings.
yeah, that's not allowed here. This is children's ministry.
Right. You know, that's so good. You know, and I think that's such an interesting point when it comes to, I like that. To have entrance in their life, you have to have interest. I mean, be interested in what they're doing, you know. Yeah. It's such a great word.
So I think that's two.
Yeah.
And I'd say another one, you know, is culture's pull. As preteens have more access to devices, it's really amazing to me that like our preteens have in their pocket like the world.
It's crazy.
You know, I wouldn't be allowed to walk into an adult bookstore or, right. You know, there's 100 places when I was a preteen, I wouldn't be allowed to walk into.
Yep.
But preteens have access to all of it.
Yes.
And a lot of them, it's not monitored so they're experiencing, you know, Satan's best traps. Attempts at his schemes, right? And they're right there. They're carrying them around with them. And if they're not, then their friends are, and their friends can show them at recess or, you know, at a sleepover or whatever. Like, they are far more exposed than younger kids are. Younger kids tend to spend more time with parents, and parents are a little more protective. But as preteens get older, as they, you know, reach fourth, fifth, sixth grade, whatever, they start pushing for more independence, and parents give it to them. And and so,
well, and even like the discussions on gender and the discussion, I mean, like that's hitting them, you know.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I think though, what we've discovered is that if we get bogged down in the details of whatever's happening culturally, then we're not preparing them for whatever culture is going to throw at them next.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right? Like, we're preparing them for this moment, but not the next moment.
Right.
So if we can take a step back from all that, the cultural whatever, and look at what's the bigger picture, which is their theology and their relationship with God, and make our ministry and our attempts to minister to preteens about that rather than about the current cultural condition. So for instance, Jason, we have a curriculum. It's called Deeply Rooted.
Okay.
And we have a series coming up here in April called Designed by God.
Okay.
And we're talking about gender. We're talking about marriage, definition of marriage. We're talking about family relationships and how family is designed by God. But the lesson is not about gender,
right?
And about marriage. It's about God is our designer and God's our definer.
Yep.
And we focus on that. And then we say, and for example, here's one issue, you know, like, so the focus is not addressing these cultural issues as much as it's addressing the theology that's leading to the cultural issues in the first place.
Totally. Well, I think a big piece of that, and this is something that I'm confident as a pastor, like, we've got to teach people how to listen to God's voice too, or listen for God's voice, so that when they're not in church or they don't have their parents right beside us, they go, God, what do you want for my life? And then he speaks to them, you know? And I think that that's the tool that they need to have more than anything walking into to deal with what's coming next culturally.
Right.
It's like, God, what are you speaking to me? Where do I need to be on this thing? And there's a lot of adults that don't even ask that question, you know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I asked a congregation the other day, I go, how many of you feel like you hear God's voice? And probably 20% raise their hand. And I go, okay, we gotta get that fixed, you know? And so it's been, mm-hmm. been a great journey. And that's for our fourth. Imagine if they learn to listen to God's voice young, what happens in life later on? I think it's powerful.
Right. Yeah. If they can develop those foundational truths about who God is and hear from him, then yeah. it doesn't matter what culture comes up with next. And we have no idea what will be the next affront yeah. to, you know, Christianity or whatever, but it doesn't right. matter. To me, it's like, preteens are the same today as they were when I was. Developmentally, they're the same.
Right.
So it's the same boat. It's just different water.
It's like yeah, that's good. Yes. That's
it's exactly. different waters. And so if we can help them like understand truths that don't shift and change with culture and give them that as their anchor, I guess, then it doesn't matter what waters they face or what they'll come across if they have those foundational truths. So
that's good. That is a great one.
Okay, so that's number three. Number four is that I think one of the biggest challenges people have, and we've kind of touched on this a little bit, Jason, is that for whatever reason, their church has them lumped in with the younger kids.
Yes.
Or the older kids sometimes. I've seen that too, where it's like right. fifth through eighth altogether.
You know, which can be detrimental. You know, because all of a sudden then they're around all these older kids that are pushing them to grow up and, you know.
And they want that.
Yep. They do want that. you yeah. know, so you kind of yep. both sides of it, both sides of the coin can be difficult.
Sure. Yeah. And so, you know, we talked a little bit. You mentioned the leadership program, and that's something that no matter what the size of your church is, if you can start a leadership program for your preteens. We have something in 456 called Team Ion. It's like a 10-month leadership program
oh, cool.
for preteens, specifically for preteens. That's something we did at our church when I first had, you know, we had first through fifth together in one space. And our attendance was like first, second, third, fourth, fifth, you know.
Right. Oh, and, yeah. Always.
Yeah. And as soon as we started introducing leadership options or opportunities for the preteens, it changed. It changed the whole dynamic to where the younger kids are looking forward to becoming an older kid so that they can do the leadership program. And then also we started doing events, like I mentioned, you know, like once a month. Okay. And so that became like we would advertise those in front of all the kids. And this is only for fourth and fifth grade. And what that does for the younger kids is it makes them excited about becoming the older kids instead of, you know, like looking at the older kids sitting in the back of the room.
Right.
You know,
well, it's like FOMO is created. Like these younger kids don't want to miss out because they're having so much fun yeah. as the older.
Yeah,
kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So good.
And then we started also doing like we found ways of meeting with the preteens outside of your regular like Sunday morning thing. So we started doing Bible studies for just fourth and fifth graders a half hour before service begins.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, you know, if you want to come early and be part of this Bible study, and I would say this, that eventually merged with our leadership program because we found that we had kids who were, they wanted to serve and they wanted to sit in the tech booth and do all the different things. Right. But they weren't really being ministered to. They were in one regard because they were like being given opportunities to serve the church, but they weren't being fed or ministered to, discipled. Yeah. It was almost like if you had a Wednesday night program, right? And men and women showed up, but you only had women's programming and the men's whole thing was to serve in the women's ministry.
Right.
You
know? Right. Exactly. That would not work well for them.
That would not work well. Yeah. yeah. And so for your preteens, their only thing is to serve in the children's ministry. Like, We figured out, okay, we need to do a little bit more than just give them a badge and tell yes. them, yeah, go run the tech booth or whatever. So that's where Team Ion kind of came in and we developed more of like a discipleship program for preteens that led to them, you know, entering in leadership nice. Capacities.
It's so good. I think that's such a powerful, and, you know, and the other thing is one of the things we do in the church really well is we get people serving, but they're not growing. And so yeah. I think we've got to teach them growth and serving when they're young. You know, let's not get into that idea where we're going to just forego spiritual growth to have them serve, you know, and I think we can start that as a young in a young, as fourth and sixth graders to say, hey, we want you to serve, but then we also want you to grow. And so throwing that half hour Bible study in ahead of time is such a great idea, I think.
Well, yeah. And I think there's ways of programming stuff that's different for your preteens than it is for your younger kids. So for example, VBS, for instance, maybe you have stations that the kids rotate around to, but how about for your preteens, you let them choose their rotation.
There you go.
Or, you know, like just finding ways of changing the programming based developmentally on where preteens are.
I love that.
So,
and going back to the article, that's where you're going to find out what they're thinking, what they're walking through.
Right.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So I mean, optimally, it would be nice if every church could have a separate ministry for their preteens.
Yeah.
And I think that's actually possible even without them having a separate space or a separate time.
Agreed.
You can have a special, like a track that's for them.
Yep. And do the
within what you're doing.
I mean, if like that's where you start children's leaders, like get the month ahead, get that monthly event on the board where you have fun. It's a great opportunity for them to invite their friends to come. You know, I mean, your ministry is going to grow because of it.
Yep, absolutely. And the other cool thing that happens with events, we didn't plan this, but this is what happened. And we've seen it in other churches too. When you start doing those monthly events for preteens, parents are like, sure, I'll help one time. Right.
Right.
But then they get there and they see what's happening and they see the need. And like a bunch of our volunteers have come from special events.
Wow.
Yep. You know, and that's how you can build a team.
They get into it and they realize that it's not so bad. You know, that,
right. Yeah.
You know, and it's not like they're committing forever. It's a one-time commitment.
Right.
And then they step in. That's good.
Okay. So that's number four. And then the last, challenge is that preteens don't feel understood by their parents.
Yeah.
And that might actually be true.
That could be true. Yeah. I mean, totally. You know, being a parent myself, I'm like, man, sometimes I didn't realize the developmental stages our kids were in, you know, and it's hard to stop looking at them like they're infants and babies and, you know, there to protect them. And, you know, I think that preteen, the one cool thing about preteens is you'll get to speak into their lives where their parents may not be able to.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I can remember being a preteen and Nickelodeon started, the television channel, right? And their programming, it was like, they understand me. They,
right.
Like it was so stupid. You can't do this on television. You know, they're sliming people. And it was just, gosh, it totally was like, it's weird to say, but it almost like ministered to me because somebody understood me, you know, right. Like, and I think
they were speaking your language.
Yeah. And I think that's a big challenge for, you know, you see preteens and it's like, they don't have anybody in their life who gets them.
Yeah.
And a lot, or, you know, they may just feel that way, but it may actually be true.
Could be, And I think to get them, you have to listen to them. Like if you're not willing to listen to them and what they're walking through, you're not going to get them.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have some really amazing leaders serving at our church in the preteen ministry because we've developed this culture of, you know, trying to understand them specifically.
Yeah.
You know, I think of Heather as one of the volunteers at our church, and you know, the kids know Heather listens to them and gets them. And so this, you know, it's a challenge to preteen ministry that nobody understands them, but I think it's a great opportunity for us to minister to them.
Exactly.
Because if we don't, you know,
the world's glad.
Disney Channel is glad to do it for you.
Exactly. 100%. 100%. You know, and sometimes you feel that tension of like, well, we can't do it better than they can. But the key is they don't have the relationships like you can have, the potential.
That's right.
And I think relationship always triumphs or trumps experience. You know,
yeah,
have the best kids ministry in the world with all the bells and whistles. If kids don't feel they're loved, I mean, all that's like, it's good for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks. But, you know, I think especially in the preteen area, It's so important. So where do people find out? Talk to us about some of the resources you guys have at 456. I know you guys do a national conference. Talk to me about some of those tools that you've created.
Yeah, so 456.org, and that's all spelled out. So it's FORFIVESIX.org. You'll find the book that I mentioned. There's like training for leaders that people can bring to their church, like a video training series. We do have a conference. It's actually coming up here next week.
That's what I thought. It was pretty close.
In Houston. Yeah, it's getting close. So that's going to be great. And we already have our dates for 2024.
Awesome.
It's going to be February 27th to 29th. So
it's funny. I remember coming to one of your very first conferences. I think that it was like first or second one in Rockland. It was so great.
Yeah. It's so neat because it's like, it's such a specific thing that we're talking about. And I don't know. It always feels like we walk away as a community.
Yes.
So, you know, the conference is fun. There's also a curriculum. There's like a 3-year scope and sequence curriculum for preteens. But people use it with, you know, they just have fifth grade and they use it, or they just have fourth and fifth or whatever. So it's designed for that. There's the leadership program. If you want to get events going for your preteens, we actually have an event pack.
Okay.
And it's like, here's 5 events. Somebody told me they used it for their summer. Like they just did one event each week in the summertime.
Nice.
And, or every other week. I don't remember how they did it, but they said it worked great for that. And it gives you like, you know, slides and a lesson and really fun events that preteens can invite their friends to.
How awesome.
So there's that. And there's, we do have some VBSs for preteens there. I know you've been to that's where we met, was at camp, I believe, right?
Camp. Jason? Yep. Yep, that was the kids camp that I went and spoke for Rob. So
yeah, that's right. So we kind of took everything we learned from him and, you know, have continued to develop summer camps and VBS for preteens. And so we have 2 of those available at 456.org. And I'm trying to think, there's, you know, there's just other random things up there. Oh, there's a podcast. We do a podcast as well. So
awesome. Yeah. Dude, thank you so much for being on. Do you have anything that you'd like to give a kind of a parting wisdom to our leaders today?
I would just say, you know, it can be daunting to think like, oh man, a preteen ministry, but I just encourage people like, okay, what's a step you can take? What, yeah. You know, like, I think one of my favorite illustrations to give people is that you don't wait to go somewhere until all the lights are green.
Right.
You just start going. When you come to one green light at a time, right?
Totally. And that's biblical. You know, I mean, like when you think of the Israelites standing on the Jordan, the water didn't get, it was a flood stage. The water didn't get pushed back until they took the first step into the raging river. And so, 100%. You know, there's leaders and people out there today that you may not even know of, but when you start this preteen, God's going to bring them into your, like you start it, God will be faithful to move it forward. It's a great concept.
Yeah. 100%. I mean, he desires that his name be honored.
Amen.
Amen.
Will you pray for our leaders today?
Sure. I'd love to.
Let's do it.
I'd be honored to. Oh Lord, I thank you for the leaders who are listening and, who are considering, Lord, how they can better minister to the older elementary kids in their in their midst at their churches. And God, I pray that if there's just one idea, God, that caught their interest, one idea that would help them to move forward this this ministry, God, I pray that you would right now just quicken their heart, Lord, as they think about this thing that they could do. Lord, that would ultimately bring glory and honor to you and help preteens to develop their relationship with you. We love you, God, and we thank you for the honor of serving in your kingdom. What an undeserved privilege.
Thank you,
God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sean, thank you so much. It's so great to be here with you today.
And yeah, thank you, Jason.
All the great wisdom you gave us. And man, go check out 456. and we'll be praying for you. Thanks, everybody. Thanks on the Kidman Tribe. Thanks for listening and being a part of what God's doing. We'll see you next time.
We would love to hear from you. What are some of the thoughts, questions, ideas you would like to hear more about? You can submit your thoughts and questions to thekidmantribe.com/mailbag. And be sure to share this podcast with everyone you know.
Man, thank you, Sean, so much for really speaking into what preteen ministry looks like. And like I said earlier, you're thinking about what your fall, think about ways how to strategically minister to your fourth, fifth, and sixth graders and really get that into play. Sean has some great resources. I encourage you to go check it out. Hey, like I always ask you to do, if you haven't done it yet, go and subscribe to wherever you are watching our channel on the podcast platform you're watching it on or you're listening it to. Go subscribe, like us, share it with every Kidman leader you know, leave a comment and a review. We'd love to hear from you. You can help us with that. We want to get the word out to all of our Kidman leaders. You can also go online to kidmantribe.com, which is our online home. You can share podcasts from there. You can find all of our old editions. We have a bi-weekly blog that you're going to want to check out. There's some great Kidman Tribe swag for yourself or for your volunteers. I just want to say thanks for being here today. You make a huge difference, and I'm so thankful for you. And I want to be here to answer questions or help you with future topics here on the Kidman Tribe podcast that we can help you with that you might go, man, if I only knew more about this or I have questions about this, you can submit all of those questions, all of your ideas, all of your thoughts on the Kidman Tribe mailbag by going to kidmantribe.com/mailbag. I had to bring back one of my favorites on the podcast from last year, Yancey. Yancey was our second podcast, and she was such an encouragement. I highly recommend you go back and listen to our conversation, podcast number 2 on the Kidman Tribe podcast. I'm excited to welcome Yancey back on the broadcast today to talk about what it looks like to get it right in kids ministry. Yancey will give us some great thoughts and ideas that you can use. She's traveled around the country. She's seen what's happening in kids ministry, and I think she's going to help us to really evaluate and look at how we're doing ministry and how we can do it better. Yancey's been in kids ministry since she was born. She's been writing, producing, and leading kids in worship for many years. Before she started kids music, she wrote music for some of Christian artists' most well-known loved artists. In 2021, she won a Dove for Ready, Set, Go, one of her newest Little Praise Party projects. Her music is being used in churches in 167 countries. Yancey is also an author. Last year, she authored a brand new book that came out that you're not going to want to miss. Go and check it out. I'm so excited to have Yancey on the show in 2 weeks. I love her heart. I love what God's been speaking to her about getting it right in kids ministry, and I think you will too. Plan on joining us in 2 weeks on the podcast. You're not going to want to miss a single moment. Again, share it with every leader you know. I can't wait to see you. You are loved. You're appreciated. I'm cheering you on. I'm your biggest fan. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Have an incredible summer, and I can't wait to see you in 2 weeks here on the Kidman Tribe podcast. Thanks for being a part.
The Kidman Tribe podcast is a production of 1230 Kids. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your kids' ministry, visit kidmantribe.com.